What's up, y'all? Summer's got a different tempo. Everything's a little looser, brighter. One plan turns into another. You hear something, you stay a little longer. Next thing you know, you're somewhere you didn't plan to be. It's those in-between moments. That's where the ideas hit. Conversations stretch out, little memories sneak up on you. And sometimes, it's just about what's in your hand. That color, that chill. The new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks. Guava and passion fruit flavors with mango pineapple flavored pearls. Yeah, that feels like summer before you even taste it. Funny how one small stop becomes the best part of the day. Start your summer rhythm with Starbucks. Try the new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Experience the freedom of finding the one at Haverty's. Right now, everything is on sale, from sofas, sectionals, bedroom furniture, and more. Come find your style and celebrate this summer at Haverty's, online or in Columbus at Polaris.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This is The Big Breakdown, a long look back at some of the biggest stories we're covering for you at the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
The prosecution convicted Alec Murdaugh the first time by spending 2 weeks building a portrait of a desperate man drowning in financial crimes who killed his wife and son to buy himself a little breathing room. The Supreme Court just told them that they can't do that again. At least not that much. Just lay off a bit. Meanwhile, the defense is teasing new evidence, an unknown DNA profile, and a full alternative suspect strategy. The question isn't just what the two trials look like side by side, how different they're going to be or similar. It's whether the state's case survives without the scaffolding that held up the first time. Joining me to discuss is attorney Eric Bland, host of Anything But Bland and a co-host on Cup of Justice. Eric, welcome. Let's talk about some of the things that Harputlian has said recently, and obviously, mm-hmm. You know, he's representing his client. He's going to make the statement he's going to make, saying that they've uncovered additional evidence and need subpoena power to develop it. Of course, I know.
That's the civil case.
You've been inside the case for years. I mean, what could they have that's genuinely new in your scope of knowledge here?
Well, Dick said that they were going to prove who the murderer was before the first trial, and that never happened.
It rang, OJ.
It rang a lot like OJ, you know, who said he was going to spend the rest of his life finding out who killed Ron and Nicole, and it turned out he spent the rest of his life on a golf course. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we were a little suspect of Dick saying what Mark Garagos did, that we're going to prove who the murderer is. The defense never has to prove that. So that was not a smart thing that I think Dick should have said. However, Dick, don't forget, has used this civil system now to sue Becky Hill in the state. Mm-hmm. And it opens up discovery that he can't get in a criminal case. So he's going to use a lot of discovery in his civil case to see if he can uncover through subpoena information that's relevant to his defense that this was a murder committed by others in connection with retaliation for Paul killing Mallory in the boat case. Now, look, you know, we've waited for this evidence to come forward. You know, if two people, you know, if there were two killers, one who used a shotgun and another used a high-powered rifle, they're the dumbest executioners I've ever seen. I don't know any executioners that come onto a Southern property in the dark of night without their own weapons. And the plan's going to be, I'll break into the house and I'm going to steal the weapons of the owner and then go kill the wife and the son. Now, executioners bring their own guns. But Dick is going to subpoena around the edges. Obviously, you can't subpoena and use the Freedom of Information Act against SLED to get their information. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of local law enforcement agencies and DNR and different things that maybe they would have a file that would show that there were threats made to Paul or the Murdaughs after Mallory's death. So I think it's advantage defense. And I say that even before the civil case, because the defense now knows how to retry the case. They're going to not make the same mistakes that they made before. And now they're going to have discovery from Becky's civil case that they could use. And, you know, the presentations could be different. One of the things is Alex probably won't testify in this second trial. Yeah. They'll go on the fact that the state hasn't proved guilt beyond a reasonable doubt. But here's the question. Can Alex's testimony be used against him if he takes the fifth? That's an interesting thing, because don't forget, he was already subject to cross-examination and mm-hmm. he testified under oath. So if he takes the fifth, our law says that you possibly can use his testimony against him. Remember, he said, I lied. I lied mm-hmm. about the kennel video and said it in front of the jury. So there's a lot of interesting pretrial rulings that are going to have to take place.
And that's another interesting thing about this case, is that was a bombshell in the original trial, because, oh my gosh, he's on the stand and last minute he's going up. And oh my God, he's telling you he lied about all this stuff. Oh,
he
my
lied to his
goodness.
Son, Tony.
I know, but the shock of that is gone.
What father lies to their only living child?
Well, I think we know the answer.
I was actually there a minute and a half before they were killed, when I told you for 2 years I was sleeping on the couch.
Yeah. So, but will that land as strong as it did a second time with a new jury? Because the shock of it's gone. Obviously it's a new jury. Hopefully they don't know too much about the case, but the shock and awe is gone.
Do you want a juror that doesn't know anything about Alex Murdaugh? That's not a juror.
I think it's
going to
be an impossibility at this point.
It's impossible. It's impossible.
Yeah, yeah. But just to have
we want
a
somebody to
knowledge.
Just say, general knowledge. We don't want somebody that was a student of the case. But we don't want a David Souter like George Bush appointed to the Supreme Court that nobody knew anything about him in the 80s when he was appointed as Supreme Court Justice. He was a district court judge that didn't write any major opinions. And then when he got to the Supreme Court, nobody knew how he was going to rule. I mean, if I had a juror who said to me, a potential juror, Mr. Bland, I've never heard of the Alex Murdaugh case, I'd strike that juror, Tony. I don't want that juror, because there's something wrong with that juror.
Yeah, they're a little too under the rock to be able to give an objective opinion. But I do wonder about that. I do wonder about that being an element of the case that is gone. The surprise is
shocking.
Gone.
Is
there
nothing
any shock left? I mean, is there anything that Poot's going to dig up here with the civil case? And I guess the question is this, how deep are they going to go in terms of a third party culprit? Are we going to see them literally getting to an area where they're naming names or strongly insinuating people that are identifiable? Yeah. Or is it going to just be down to, well, this group over here has some animosity, so it could be any one of them?
It'll be general. Dick likes to lay smoke fires all in the courtroom and light a fire here and light a fire there. And he's a professional 44 caliber smoke screener. Yeah. So he'll build a fire in this corner or that corner. Don't forget, Tony, the state thought that Cousin Eddie was involved in the murder somehow. Mm-hmm. And Cousin Eddie is still charged for the roadside shooting. That has never, the roadside shooting that took mm-hmm. place 3 months after the murders.
Yeah.
That has never been resolved. So for a while, the state wasn't even sure that it was just Alex. They had looked at Cousin Eddie. So, you know, I think what you're going to see from Dick is that he's going to focus very, very hard on the lack of real clear evidence. I don't think you're going to see him put up the guy that, you know, the coroner who, you know, felt the armpit and the temperature of the armpit mm-hmm. and could name the time of death. I don't think you're going to see the guy that said that the shooter was a 4 foot, 5 foot man, like the expert for all did. The guy had, you know, was yeah. an expert on ballistics and boating and gun trajectory, all that. I think they're going to be leaner.
Yeah.
I think the prosecution's going to be leaner. And you know, if it wasn't Alex, who was it? You know, why isn't, you know, somebody would have sold that information to the FBI over the last 3 years, Tony. Come on. If it was somebody yeah. else, somebody would have brokered that information. There's confidential informants everywhere.
You would think, you would certainly think if there was more than one person involved, I guess that how are they going to get it sold to the jury without the reasonable doubt part? Because that, even to me to this day, I'm still like, I don't, I mean, there could be a possibility here that there's other folks involved. I still think Alec was involved, regardless. I think okay, Alec but how do you avoid that reasonable part? Facts. Because there's a lot of places where it seems like Creighton could go, or that Poot could go.
Let me give you those facts. In 101 jailhouse phone calls, Alex never once screamed, "I'm innocent. What are people doing to try to find out the real killer? Why am I still in jail?" He talked about football. He talked about deer hunting. He never once screamed, "I'm innocent. What's being done?" Mm-hmm. At 10 o'clock at night, when he comes home and supposedly finds Maggie and Paul dead, and he calls the police come. He doesn't have one stitch of blood or dirt on him. Tony, I can tell mm-hmm. you, if I came home and my wife Renee and my son Davis were on the ground dead, I would have squeezed them and screamed to the heavens, and I would have had their blood and their mud and their dirt all over my body. I wouldn't be clean, okay? I yeah. wouldn't have waited 40 minutes to call my only surviving son, Buster, and tell him that his mother and brother were killed and ask him to come home. Remember, Tony, if there are real killers out there and it wasn't Alex, why would he ever ask Buster to come home? Wouldn't you tell Buster, wherever you are, run to the police? There's killers out there that are trying mm-hmm. to kill our family.
Sure. Well, and the fact, too, there's no explanation from Alec, who totally contradicts himself of saying he went down there, he tried to turn his son over, he was active. I mean, and he has this white shirt on. That's not, has right. no, I mean, it, even if you didn't kill them, what you just described them. Doing would put blood on you.
So, correct.
There's no explanation for that part.
He changed his clothes three times.
Yeah.
After 5 o'clock when he came home from work.
Yeah.
We know that he was wearing khakis and a blue shirt mm-hmm. at the Sunflower when he was with Paul in the golf cart yeah. on the Snapchat video. We know that he had a different outfit on when he was at the kennels mm-hmm. and then another outfit and when he went to his mother's and then came home. And then God knows what happened at the mother's house. You know, there's a lot of people that believe that the gun is buried in the back lawn mm-hmm. with his father.
That's an interesting thought. How are they going to, how is the prosecution going to fight off some of the other possible third-party areas of this that may be brought in? Blanca has said, even on our show, I'm not sure if she said it in the trial, she had talked about there being another vehicle on the property that day that no one's ever talked about, that hasn't been identified. They don't know who was in it, or she says she doesn't know who was in it. Some of the tire tracks that were never looked
right.
at. There's a lot of little weird, well, what was that? If it wasn't Alec, who was it? How, I guess, how is that going to be combated in trial to try and solidify that it was in fact Alec, and to remove any bit of the reasonable doubt over here of, well, there is a lot of mystery things going on at Moselle that day.
There were, and a good defense lawyer will bring that up and let it hang in the air.
Yeah.
And then focus hard in your closing argument on that is enough for reasonable doubt. Remember, sure, you know, in a civil case, you've got to cross the 50-yard line. You cross the 50-yard line, you win. It's the preponderance of evidence standard. Beyond a reasonable doubt, though, prosecution's got to almost get in the end zone. Mm-hmm. And he raises a little bit of reasonable doubt that there was another car there. There were five different kinds of car tracks that mm-hmm. were fresh. And we looked at Alex's Yukon or whatever, the GMC long body, and Maggie's Mercedes and Paul's truck. And these tire tracks are different. That's mm-hmm. reasonable doubt.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, just the way, look, no crime scene is perfect.
Yeah.
You know, Dr. Henry Lee, before he died, he finally admitted that he took liberties in some of his testimony. I don't know if you read about that. Before Dr. Henry Lee died, he said that, you know, he once famously said that, you know, you only get one chance at your credibility. And, you know, he took a lot of liberties that he finally admitted with evidence. And so here, the crime scene was trampled upon. They let family members on the crime scene go into the house and use the bathroom and use the sinks and the drains and all that. You know, no crime scene is perfect, but this crime scene was riddled with a lot of people that were walking around freely that shouldn't have been walking around.
Is it just, I mean, is this a case where any way you spin it, no matter how much horrible information comes out about Alec Murdaugh and what kind of a monster he is and the likelihood that he did this and everything that points to it, is there just too much in here where there always will be reasonable doubt?
Well, you can create doubt anywhere you want in a case. The question is it reasonable? Do you have to really stretch to create the doubt, or is it... it's got to be reasonable doubt, not just any doubt. And a good lawyer can create doubt. It's the best lawyers that create reasonable doubt. Look, for me, I'm not as invested in getting that murder conviction, although I don't want him to walk free of the murder charge. I believe that he is guilty of it. Remember, I battled the friends of Dick Harpootlian, whether it was Dershowitz or Garagos or Sarah Aziri, every single night of the trial, I was one of the few people that were out on TV saying, I think that they're proving their case and it's really good circumstantial evidence case. But there are a lot of people that feel that Alex is, that they, I respect people that say that there's reasonable doubt. I start to lose a little bit of respect when I hear that Alex is innocent.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see the argument for reason without a doubt. I think it's dishonest to say that there's not, but to say
that's why I think you're going to get a hung jury.
Yeah.
That's why I think you may get a hung jury.
Oh God. I wonder how many Alec Murdaugh trials we're going to get. It's a scary thought to think about. Eric Bland, defense attorney, Bland and Richter, as always, thank you for joining us. Check out Eric's podcast, Anything But Bland, and his social media, as well as Cup of Justice, which he co-hosts as well. A big thank you for joining us. Give us your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. We'd love for you to weigh in. The links are in the description. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Alec Murdaugh's defense attorneys went on national television the day after the conviction was overturned and said they have new information about third parties and potential motives. They said the reversal gives them subpoena power to chase it. They're building towards a retrial strategy that points the finger at someone other than Alec. But Blanca Simpson has her own theory about third parties. She was the Murdaugh's housekeeper. She was there with Alec, with Maggie, with Paul, with Buster. It doesn't point necessarily completely away from Alec. It points deeper into his world. Just how deep does it go? That's what we're about to get into as we continue our conversation with Blanca Simpson. You've talked about your belief in the past that Alex had a plan A and that someone else was supposed to be at Moselle that night, possibly to take the fall or play a role. And then when that didn't work, he went to plan B and did it himself. Is that where you still sit today when you run this through your mind and try to figure out what the heck was going on at Moselle that night? Where do you sit today?
I believe that that one individual was, you know, alive today because he didn't go to the property that evening. And I firmly believe that because he was telling people, you know, how bad, you know, Paul and him were getting along, that they weren't getting along, you know, all that great, that they were having words. And I can honestly tell you that individual was not confrontational at all. He would do anything you asked him to. And he was slow. He was 63 years old. I mean, he's not going to take on a 20 something year old, you know, young man. He was not disrespectful to anybody. Mm-hmm. So in a way, I believe it saved his life that he did not come to that property that night, because that's the two gun theory that I have in my book, you know, one of the theories. And it makes a lot of sense that you have two, one to use on, you know, your son and your wife. And the other one is to, you know, kill the individual that came out there at your request. That was another request that he had made for him to come out, and he didn't go out there that night. Now, as far as what you asked me about, you know, the people I call the cleaners, I do believe he had help. He most definitely had help. You know, I think he kind of messed up a little bit on that 911 call that they try to explain away during the trial. You know, is, oh, you were talking to the dispatcher or something like that. No, he was not. He was talking to whoever was there helping him clean up the scene and remove the weapons, or, you know, whatever it was that they were doing. But I strongly believe that.
If there was other people there, are you surprised that by now, like, nobody has come forward and said, yeah, I did this, just to further nail it to Alec Murdaugh, or does this go deeper? Would there be if they don't need a loyalty to Alec Murdaugh anymore because he's behind bars and doesn't hold any power, is there somebody else out there that's holding power? Is there somebody else that was beyond Alec that was holding power that had something to do with this? Where does these third party cleaners' loyalties lie, and why would they have not come forward at this point to say, hey, he tried to make us do this? Or maybe, like I said, maybe there's something else deeper going on here, or other things well beyond Moselle.
I think money had a lot to do with it. And I think, will they ever come forward? Probably not. Probably not, especially risking, you know, they're going to risk going to prison for Alex. Mm-hmm. I doubt it very much that they're going to come forward. It's been going on 5 years now, you know, here in the next week or so. So will they ever come forward? No. Everyone has speculated and said, I will never disclose who I believe they are. But as far as them coming forward at any time, or they won't. But I believe money was behind it. And, you know, I think, if investigators really wanted to look in it, all they have to do is really, really look into it and just look at the people that were around him and, you know, see what their status is now. You know, that's basically all I can say.
Yeah. I mean, his defense attorneys, Alex defense attorneys the other day had said that they, now they believe they have leads, third parties, and potential motives is,
I believe, exactly what was said. And obviously, it's the words of a defense attorney. It was Harpudlin or Griffin. I forget which one said it. But it's something that they'd want to dig into or look at closer. My thought is, okay, if you're going to dig in and look closer at that, you're probably still going to find a nexus of Alec Murdaugh here. So if there's truly a third party that has nothing to do with Alec Murdaugh, is that going to be out there? Or if someone truly did dig and was able to uncover this, are you always going to find a nexus with Alec Murdaugh being part of this equation for getting rid of Maggie and Paul, whether he's pulling the trigger or somebody else is?
I can tell you right now that they're going to try to deflect everything towards everybody else other than their client. Yeah. They're going to try to either say it was a drug deal gone bad, which is what a lot of the rumors are, or that he owed money to these people, or that, it was some kids there that came in and, you know, out of revenge, you know, because Paul was going to, tell on him, mm-hmm. you know, that's why he was killed. And that's all speculation. It's not something that I believe, and like I said, I'm firm within the 4 minutes from the kennel video to the time that they were murdered.
Yeah,
those dogs would have been alerting, and I stand by that. The dogs are not alerting. There was nobody else out there when it happened.
Yeah.
So for, and then you know, for them to talk about the people, there was two guys that were indicted for drugs or something. One thing that I do know is the majority of these guys, they're not capable of, you know, some of them are, but like I said, some of the guys that he was dealing with, I just don't believe that they could have done something as horrific as what happened that night.
A big lane that
and I spoke to Mr.
Go ahead. You spoke to who?
Yes, sir.
You just said you spoke.
I said, everybody refers to him as Cousin Eddie. I ran into him at, you know, the store.
Yeah.
I saw his demeanor. I saw his interactions or whatever. And they're going to try to, you know, probably say that he had something. By no means am I saying the man's a saint, but I don't think he would be capable of doing that. You know, he said he didn't even know them. You know, he might have met Paul one time, but he said he didn't even know Maggie.
Yeah.
So, and he said it himself to me. He would have never hurt anybody like that. He said that's just, I will never do something like that. So I just think that people have it out for him because of who he is, but he's just he was raised in the country.
Yeah.
You know, he's a country boy at heart, and some folks are rough like that, but it doesn't mean that they're bad people.
Sure. I mean, he was one where it felt like he could be an easy target for bad guy. And, and obviously you start looking a little deeper. It's like, no, just kind of a country guy. The other lane to this with the drugs that I still baffles me, baffles a lot of people, the sheer dollar amount of drugs that Alec was pulling in, enough to kill a zoo. Nowhere on any element of this planet could Alec Murdaugh consume that level of drugs and live. What the hell do you think was going on with the drugs and the amount of drugs that he was allegedly buying for that dollar amount?
They sure try to make it look like he was on that amount of drugs. I can tell you he was functioning normal, but I do not believe that he was spending what they said he was spending on them drugs for his personal use. That is absolutely unfathomable. I cannot.
So does that lead you to believe that the dollar amount that they said he was spending on drugs is off and wrong? And for however this was calculated, that
amount of money is not accurate to the amount he was spending on drugs, that would answer that he didn't have that many drugs. Or if he was spending that much on drugs, where were the rest of the drugs going? Or was he getting insanely ripped off on the drugs he was buying and paying way too much for not as much as that should be buying you? There's a couple choose your own adventures there.
The amount of money that he said that they said he was spending on drugs, that's too much. It does not. It's just too much. He would have been dead if he was consuming that amount of that large amount of drugs. Was he consuming drugs? Yes, he was. But was he functioning? He was functioning. You know, he was going to work, even though he was running late all the time. But, you know, he was going to work. He was still functioning. So he would have been, the amount of money and spent on that enormous amount of drugs would have killed him. Would have killed anybody.
Do you think the path that leads to whoever was getting him this level of drugs that would kill anybody, would kill a zoo, that path would lead us more into the direction of who some of these fixers may be or some of his help may be, these folks that are staying silent that helped Alec in whatever the hell he did here or why ever he did this? Do you think that the drugs intersect in that, or is that a totally separate lane and a total separate lane of chaos in the world of Alec Murdaugh?
I think that drugs is totally separate from the crime scene itself. It was he on drugs? Yes.
Sure.
Did those individuals have anything to do with that? Like a lot of people are trying to say that they could have, you know, they knew. First of all, they can say whatever they can, but I don't believe nobody knew that Paul, you know, he might have told a few friends or whatever, you know, that he was coming to the property. But other than that, nobody really knew. Maggie was going back and forth. You know, that night, I believe Maggie was going back to Edisto because she had work that she wanted to get done, you know, in Edisto. Did they possibly have an argument before she left? I believe so, because, you know, the 27th of May was when they found the stash, I believe, something like that, or when he went to his appointment, Maggie found that stash.
Yeah, yeah.
So... you know, that I believe was, I think that was a sore subject for Maggie, when it came to the drugs. And could it be possibly that they had a small argument or something over that, you know, or she gave him an ultimatum to get detoxed, you know, maybe. Yeah. But it's still, and then trying to make it, you know, they can say, well, it was a robbery, or they tried, you know, I think that was one of the plans that he had to try to make it look like it could have possibly been a robbery. Mm-hmm. They maybe attempted to take a ring, but why not take all of the jewelry? She was wearing a lot of, you know, her jewelry was worth a lot of money.
Yeah.
And not to include the items that were in the car that were worth a lot of money. Plus, yeah. If they were really looking at taking, you know, something of value or making it look like a robbery, you know, that they actually pulled up and intended to rob them, they would have, around here, they would have probably taken her car, taken all the stuff that was in the car, taken her jewelry and everything, and probably burned the car up somewhere out there in the woods in the middle of nowhere, had they been, you know, people that were out to get, you know, just to rob somebody. Like they also tried to, you know, rumor was going around that somebody possibly could have tried to rob them or whatever. If they would have done that, they would have stolen the car. So
there's still, and we'll wrap on this question. There's obviously a lot of time between now and the next Alec Murdaugh trial. No date has been set as of yet. We're probably talking at least a year before this gets into a courtroom for an actual trial date. Do you have any concerns about anything between now and then when it comes to any element of retrying Alec Murdaugh? Witnesses, statements, evidence, anything? Is there anything that you obviously know where it's going back to trial that's a red flag to you going, okay, I hope this makes it, or I hope this, is there anything that's concerning to you?
The evidence convicted him. There was more than enough evidence. Another trial is just a different set of jurors that are going to be on the trial. Mm-hmm. And he really needs to think about the fact that if the death penalty is on, you know, the table this time around, the state prisons that housed the death row inmates are not the nicest ones you want to be in. So those are things he really needs to consider, whether he wants to move forward or he wants to. I worked in the prison system, so I can tell you some of them, I'm not going to name them by name because there's good people that work there. It just, you know, but he needs to think really, really hard. If it goes south on him, this is where you're going to end up with. It's not, you know, it's not a carnival in there. You know, it's real life and it's tough.
It's certainly a calculated risk he's going to have to take if he wants to go through this again. If you could say anything to Alec right now, if you could give him a message of any sort, whatever, what would you say to him?
Just tell the truth. Stop lying. Tell the truth. I've never said once that you didn't love your wife or your son, but just tell the truth. You snapped. You needed the money. Your case was coming up. Just be honest with yourself. And stop trying to claim that you're innocent when you're not.
Blanca Simpson, the Murdaugh housekeeper, a big thank you to her for joining us and giving us her insight as to the family that was behind Moselle, Maggie, and Paul, and Buster, and Alec, and what life was like behind those closed doors. Give us your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. We'd love for you to weigh in. We'll continue our conversation right there. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Experience the freedom of finding the one at Haverty's. Right now, everything is on sale, from sofas, sectionals, bedroom furniture, and more. Come find your style and celebrate this summer at Haverty's, online or in Columbus at Polaris.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Experience the freedom of finding the one at Haverty's. Right now, everything is on sale, from sofas, sectionals, bedroom furniture, and more. Come find your style and celebrate this summer at Haverty's, online or in Columbus at Polaris.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love, with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com, SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Experience the freedom of finding the one at Haverty's. Right now, everything is on sale, from sofas, sectionals, bedroom furniture, and more. Come find your style and celebrate this summer at Haverty's, online or in Columbus at Polaris.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Experience the freedom of finding the one at Haverty's. Right now, everything is on sale, from sofas, sectionals, bedroom furniture, and more. Come find your style and celebrate this summer at Haverty's, online or in Columbus at Polaris.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Experience the freedom of finding the one at Haverty's. Right now, everything is on sale, from sofas, sectionals, bedroom furniture, and more. Come find your style and celebrate this summer at Haverty's, online or in Columbus at Polaris.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Experience the freedom of finding the one at Haverty's. Right now, everything is on sale, from sofas, sectionals, bedroom furniture, and more. Come find your style and celebrate this summer at Haverty's, online or in Columbus at Polaris.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Experience the freedom of finding the one at Haverty's. Right now, everything is on sale, from sofas, sectionals, bedroom furniture, and more. Come find your style and celebrate this summer at Haverty's, online or in Columbus at Polaris.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.